George Saunders has a new book out. He's in the Catskills. How do you like that? What are you doing up there? It's called The 10th of December, a collection of stories. Great book. New York Times calls it the best book you're ever going to read or something like that. It was pretty profuse in their praise. And let's go right now to George in the Catskills. Hi, George.
Hey, how are you doing?
Pretty good. What are you doing in the Catskills there?
I'm just riding my stationary bike in my unitard.
Are you a biker?
Why is that funny? I don't.
It's not. Obviously, it's not, because I said it and it's got nothing.
How you say it.
Yeah, it's all on how you missay it, in my case. Are you a biker, though? Do you get on the bike and you...
Never. No. Never in a million years.
No. But you do you ride just for exercise indoors?
No. No. I just like wearing the unitard.
Well, that goes without saying, I guess. This is a great collection, George.
Thank you.
Loved it. Wonderful. And, you know, so I was doing deep background on you, and you're actually a geologist, right, at heart?
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I went to this place called the Colorado School of Mines out in Golden.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Do they have a good writing program out there?
They had no writing program.
Yeah. So does the mining background influence the stylistics of your writing?
Yeah, actually it does. You know, right out of college, I went to Sumatra and worked in the oil fields there. So yeah. Really influenced the politics of the whole deal, actually.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've been kind of a Ayn Rand right winger when I was in college. And then, went to Asia and saw that and all the suffering and the poverty, and it kind of dislodged something in my moral view.
Yeah. You're sort of popping in and out there. Are you actually moving on some apparatus?
No. I'm just on a cell phone up and way up in the hill. Sorry.
Oh, that's okay. Could you climb up onto the roof, possibly, for a moment? And we can.
Okay, I'll try it. Yeah.
We can, or stick. Is there a window that you can open?
Yeah. I got it.
Okay.
So you have to picture a middle-aged balding guy leaning out a window in a unitard in the tent.
I personally like the image, and it kind of frightens me that I do. So, so you were an objectivist, and then you became a Buddhist. Now, that's quite a leap of faith.
Well, you know, actually, what happened to me was I was in Chicago and wasn't planning to go to college and read Atlas Shrugged. And
right.
Somehow, in this really corny way, it made me want to go to college. I had this strange vision of wearing a college sweater and kind of discussing objectivism with some co-eds and so.
Yeah.
So I'm not a big fan of hers now. I'm grateful that she got me into college.
Yeah. Are you leaning out the window now? Because we're getting no luck with this. Can you try another window, George?
Okay, I'll try another window.
Try another window.
I'm over here.
Okay.
Should I try another unitard? Okay, how's
your reception in that unitard? It's pretty good? Okay. That sounds a lot better. So Ayn Rand, you're saying, was influential in a sort of the opposite way?
Yeah, honestly, like a lot of, insecure kids, I really found something in her. Like, she seemed to be saying that the reason I was doing so badly is because I was being treated unfairly. Yeah. So, but anyway, it did get me into school, and I got the geophysics degree and got a chance to see the world.
Okay. Can you go out in the hallway? Is there a hall... I'm sorry about this, really, but you're popping in and out. I want to hear every word. I'm hearing like every other word. Try the hallway.
I'll try to only say the good word. Every other word would be the good one.
Throw on a robe and go out in the hallway with the phone.
I'm outside. I'm literally out on the front porch now.
Oh, you're on the front porch. Okay.
Yeah. And it is cold out here. I'm doing this in the state of Wisconsin.
You know, we really appreciate it for you. We won't keep you out there too long unless you want to stay for a while there.
Yeah.
Let's go through this story by story now, and I'd like to reveal all the endings of all your stories because I'm known for that in doing my author interviews and that sort of thing. But I sort of figured out a theme in these stories, at least. In fact, I think in most of them, is that there's always a heroic action by a non-heroic person.
Yes.
That seems to be universal. Like
I think that's right.
Yeah. We're trying to be heroic in the face of ourselves.
Yeah. I feel that way. When I was younger, I guess I had sort of big ideas of heroism, but now just to get through a day without being a dope is pretty good.
Yeah. And it's true in all these stories. The guy who was in the spider head, who actually does a heroic act, he's a murderer, does a heroic act by dosing himself on this drug so that someone else doesn't have to be dosed with it, basically. An act of total heroism. He doesn't have to murder for the first time in his life.
Right.
You know,
right.
So the obsession is gone.
You know, I'm 54, and I the last few years had this huge attack of gratitude. Life has been pretty good, and somehow that worked its way into the book a little bit. You know, this feeling that it is actually possible to be good in the world, even in the face of kind of miserable conditions. And the question of how does that happen? How does it occur that a person might actually rise to the occasion?
Mm-hmm. You know, I think if you went back inside now. Because we were having better luck inside. And then I'll save you the... Oh, we'll just wait for a second. Go back
here. I'm in the house now.
Yeah. So at age 54, what did you have?
No, just this sort of wave of gratitude.
Oh.
Yeah. That life could go well and things could be happy. And so that works its way into the stories.
Yeah.
I'm going to just sort of do it in really simple, minimal language. I'll go, look good.
Well, that's sort of the way you're right too. So that's almost perfect, really.
Please buy many.
Yeah.
Over.
And in the cover story itself, the 10th of December, which actually is my favorite story in the book. I love it because there's two things going on there, and also people in your books always have these internal conversations of invented characters, usually going on in their heads at all times.
Yeah. Well, that certainly is true for me, and I hope it's true for everyone else. Book, good. Bye.
Bye, book.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm sorry about this connection.
No, that's all right. $26.
We're making
$26, aren't we? What?
We're kind of making it fun.
We're making it fun, and when it should be very painful, as we know.
Yeah.
Because, but in that particular story now, it's really great because the kid gets to be the hero in the book, but also the guy who's the guy he saves is also gets to be a hero as well,
yeah.
And they're both caught in the middle of their internal conversations, a very dramatic kind for the guy who goes out basically to kill himself because he's got a fatal illness. And doesn't want to be a burden on his family. And the kid who's just sort of, this kid has got to be you as a young man, is what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
He's out there going out to have an adventure that he's entirely invented in his mind.
Right.
About saving this girl who's in his homeroom, who calls him by the wrong name. But if she knew him, she would really see all the value that he has as a person, right?
Right. I kind of love the idea that when good things happen, it's cooperative.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I was young, I had this sort of messianic idea that a good person was just so powerful and working alone. But now it seems like when good things happen, it's community, you know.
Yeah, there's a community.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Book. Good.
Buy a book.
By many. By many.
Buy many book.
Yeah. Yeah. I like when you're describing them. You do a good job.
So okay, well, yeah, fun. Thank you. Thank you very much. I'm starting to talk like that now, too, so I'm just saying, real good story.
Yeah.
Me like.
Thank you.
And let's go through all these stories one by one here now. And just let's go right to the endings of them all.
Just read them all.
Now, and so now the other thing, now you've been compared to Kurt Vonnegut and so forth. And it's kind of interesting because he was an engineer.
He was.
Yeah, he worked for GE and that sort of stuff. Where does the corporate side of what you do or the advertising commercial side of your insights, the work side, come from in your stories? Did you have a work experience like GE that
Yeah. I worked at a company called Radian.
Oh, you did, yeah.
Yeah, an environmental engineering company.
Uh-huh.
About 7 years.
Oh, I see. Okay.
So all of that corporate speech kind of got under my skin, and I do it very nastily now.
Corporate speech skin.
Yes, I'm a results-oriented person.
Yeah. And there's a whole, I mean, there's a lot of drugs in this book, but very specific sort of drugs catered to certain uses.
Yeah.
Designer drugs, I guess you call them. And particularly in that story, the Spiderhead one,
yeah,
where they have to wear belts that release various drugs into them, but also in other places too.
Yeah, I love the idea that our character might have to do with chemistry. You know, if you wake up and you have flu, you might be a less graceful person. And I was kind of just riffing on that idea that maybe we're not as autonomous as we think.
Right.
Yeah.
Not as autonomous.
Not as. You know, book is good. You buy many.
Book is good. Drugs good. Drugs good.
Drugs good.
Some drugs bad. Oh. Some drugs bad.
Actually, this reminds me of what it was like to be in high school. You're desperately trying to communicate, but it's not working.
Yeah. That's because all those conversations were in your head, I think. Though.
Yeah.
Pretty much for the most part there. And I also like the fact that in that also the 10th of December, whose ending I'm getting to in just a minute, just, you know, spoiler alert, I did that with an author, a woman, well-known woman author, and I revealed the ending of the book inadvertently, and I got hate mail from all these people who, you know.
Oh, really?
It's totally inadvertent, and just because I wanted to say the guy should have been in, you know, Wisconsin instead of Minnesota. That was my only effort. But revealed the ending that he still was living and all that sort of stuff. So.
Yeah. Well, it is kind of funny because you spend months writing these stories trying to make them rising, and then the first review comes out and all the answers are right there.
Right. Start with the end and work backwards.
Yeah.
How'd you think of this ending here? You know, the guy who was going out to end his life to make it easier on his family, what I like and relate to, I guess, is the fact that he's saying all these things in his head, having all these conversations with everyone in his life, past, present, whatever. But he's getting phrases wrong. He's not able to say the words right.
Right.
Due to his condition, the fact he's out and he's kind of losing consciousness as well. And so he keeps trying to say things over. As long as he can actually say the words, then he's still okay, you know. But it's very frustrating.
I love that idea that I write in this thing called third person and
third person what?
Ventriloquist. So you're in an internal monologue, but restricted to that person's diction.
Right.
Yeah, and that kind of brings it really close. It makes it sort of intimate.
Yeah, third person ventriloquist is good.
Yeah, yeah.
I like that. All right. Okay. All right, I don't know. I can't go any further in that story, I guess. Heroism. And then, so you're in the middle of a book tour right now, too, right? Is that?
What's that? I'm sorry. Now I can't hear you.
You're in the middle of a tour?
Yeah. Yes, I'm home for 2 days before I go down south.
South?
South.
How do you like those things? Do you actually like going and reading and all that sort of thing, or is this a personal trauma for you?
No, I love it. Yeah, because you can say things and people understand you, and it's communication.
Yeah.
You get a big laugh from a sympathetic crowd that feels a little sorry for you.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I really love it. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like to go through some of my marginalia right now with you, if I could do that.
Yes.
Speaks his mind without drug.
I did once, yeah.
Okay, good, thank you. Some other ones here. Didn't write a lot of them because I didn't want to put words in your mouth.
I wish you would have.
Room 6.
Oh, yeah, those are beautiful days.
Beautiful days. Exhortation, and we don't really know. Also, what I like about your stories is the fact you don't really know what's going on at all. Even at the end, by the end, you still don't know what it just happened. But yeah, and also your humor. Now, I mean, you know, you're called a humorist, which you are, but it's like the human comedy kind of thing. They're all, you know, you kind of feel bad about laughing in a lot of your stories. You know, about what you just laughed about.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Well, it's a Chicago thing.
Oh, it is.
You know, I think so. And when I was a kid, if you wanted to express some real emotion, you never did it overtly, you know.
Okay.
Like, if your uncle wanted to say he loved you, he would, like, knee you in the groin. Was your uncle like that also in Wisconsin?
I never got kneed by my uncle. No, my brother did it, but he wasn't saying I loved you, I don't think. But I know what
you
mean.
I'll send my uncle over.
Yeah. I know what you mean. Yeah. Like the character, yeah. Once again, in the his father was a complete jerk, but his stepfather was like the most wonderful man, Alan, I remember his name was, most wonderful man in his life, and giving and understanding and would comb the lice out of his hair and that sort of, but his own father didn't get him, didn't understand him, didn't particularly like him.
Right.
In fact, there's a lot of cases in these stories about parents who have no use for their children whatsoever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's sort of, I'm not the most subtle writer, so. No, but I mean, that's one way you can quickly get cut to the chase is to have somebody whose parents aren't sympathetic, you know.
Unsympathetic parents.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Or like the what was that?
I have no idea.
Oh, that was a gamma ray burst or something coming up. Okay.
Sorry, we had tacos last night. It's funny how that will always come through, you know?
Yeah.
We could do a whole conversation in just that mode.
Yes, really. We certainly could, I'll tell you. Given the Feldman history, I think that would fit in right with that. Well, you know, what did you think about the New York Times review? That was saying it's the best book you're going to read, like, in your life.
That it was amazing.
Yeah.
I think we all have to just agree not to read any other books this year. just to protect the Times reputation.
Oh, that's good, man. That's good, man.
Now, that was such a generous piece, and it's amazing how it sort of changed everything now. Yeah. Crowds are like four times as big, and it's pretty exciting.
Oh, yeah. It's not intimidating at all for the author?
No, I'm 54, you know. It's just nice. Yep.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Well, wait 10 years to see if you feel that way.
Yeah, I had a fellow writer sent me a congratulations email.
Uh-huh.
And I said, oh, yeah, I'm just waiting for the backlash. And about 2 seconds later, he emailed me to say, I like your old book better.
Yeah, that's cool. That's what friends are for, pretty much. And then, but I mean, even like, you know, when you win a genius grant, that's got to be a lot of pressure, right?
It kind of is, but I just always figure if you take the energy and push it towards the next book,
yeah,
and just say I'm going to try to deserve this,
yeah,
and you know, Neuroses is sort of boring, you know, better to go ahead and do your best and not let anything slow you down.
Can you win more than one genius grant?
I can't.
No. Maybe in another field, maybe in geology.
Yeah. Maybe in radio broadcasting.
Yeah. No, I think you're doing better than I am.
Yeah. No,
but
no.
But in geology, what was your field within geology?
It was geophysics, seismic exploration.
Seismic exploration.
Yeah.
Wow.
So we would go out and drill a deep hole and blow off some dynamite and then collect the sound wave information and know where to drill.
Yeah.
It was even more boring than that sentence.
Well, George, I'm not going to make you go through any more of this. This is probably not the most pleasant experience for you. It's like sort of a dental experience.
No.
They try and talk with your mouth with somebody's fist in it.
Do you know my dentist?
But I will say this is probably the best book you're going to read this year, depending on how many books you read, as George himself said. So 10th of December it is, George Sanders. Thank you so much, George.
Thank you. Sorry for the transmission problem.
Yeah, me too. But it was great talking to you in between the problems.
You too. My pleasure. Yeah.
Good sense of George Sanders there for you in the Catskills. Darn phones. Darn those phones.